Two incredible athletes fighting for their place in history.
Undertaker signals it's over.
Maybe he's not human.
Again. Oh. All right, Brock Lesnar countered. Lesnar countered. He's got it. Undertaker up in his shoulders again.
Not again.
Going for a triple. A third F5 to the Undertaker. Brock Lesnar into the cover. Hooks the leg. The streak is over.
There's the choke.
He's got it. It's under the neck.
There it is.
Nope, it's on the chin.
There's the tap. Khabib Nurmagomedov has finished Conor McGregor tonight.
Now Khabib jumps the fence. No.
And he's going right at Dylan Danis. Mayhem. And now one of Nurmagomedov's teammates throws a right hand at Conor. All hell has broken loose.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday. It's time for the Mac Attack, as you just heard, right here on 920 The Game. I'm Ryan McKinnell, got Chris Chapman across the way, and yes, the sports world keeps on turning. New England Patriots got a new quarterback. The Vegas Golden Knights are handing out extensions. And yeah, a little bit of pro wrestling, too. Oh, and it's National Puppy Day. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show, too. Why? Because we're not just a sports show. Yes, we love our good boys and girls out there. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. We love animals, Magnum. I mean, you got a dog. I got a dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about National Puppy Day.
Yeah, exactly. My dog's been getting a lot of walks lately.
Well, yeah. For all of us out there that have animals during this self-imposed quarantine, it goes a long way. And to the people out there, because I saw this getting tossed around, thrown around. Hey, I'm in quarantine. Actually, one of my buddies, John Anik, voice of the UFC. You just heard him there. Call that Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov fight where he kind of jumped out of the cage and attacked, Khabib jumped out of the cage and attacked Dylan Danis. And, well, that was here in Vegas. The damn near right. John Anik on the call, voice of the UFC. He was throwing around the idea, hey, you know, got a lot of extra time on my hands, homeschooling the kid. Feel like a dog might really add to the ambiance of the flavor of the house during this time, and that's fine. And I fully encourage everyone, you know, to go out and especially go take care of a rescue and go save a puppy's life here on National Dog Day, National Puppy Day. But remember, it's a big responsibility. So when the quarantine's over, it's not an accessory. It's not something to keep you busy while you're in quarantine or to, you know, help your emotional stability during quarantine. If you want to get a dog, definitely get a dog. But Magnum, as you and I both know, hell of a responsibility. I don't want to liken it to having a kid because you have both.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still, like, if I want to go out of town, I still have to find someone to watch my dog. I don't board him because he's an English bulldog. And let's be real, I can't do that to my prince.
No, it's not. It's not cool.
So, big responsibility. But as Magnum, I mentioned news in the VGK world, as you are wiping down your microphone, you feel like you got it?
I think so. I'm so, like,
dude,
paranoid.
We have wiped down this studio, I feel like, 600 times. Like, once you wipe it down, it kills the virus.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know if there's people in here in between the what I'm doing in the morning. And
who could possibly be coming in here? We're like the skeleton crew.
That's a fair point.
I did see Cofield. What's he doing here an hour early?
Yeah, well, he's got to prep.
Yeah, but like, do that at home, Steve.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't be in this building longer than you have to be. Also, he like walked up and down the hallway like looking for people. Steve, who are you looking for?
Yeah, not me. I know that.
There's no one here. Maybe he's just like spying on our show.
I saw the GM too. She was here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walked by, but
all right. So little bit more than a skeleton crew, but definitely under 10.
Well, my guess is. The GM will not be here very long.
Yeah. In and out. So
that's like me at the grocery store.
Yeah?
I have succumbed to delivery.
Ah.
I have caved in.
Yeah.
I ordered some stuff at a store last night. I couldn't sleep. Paranoid. So I ordered some things at a big store. And as soon as we're done, I'm going to go pick it up.
Yeah.
already paid for going in, getting it.
I hope this eases your paranoia. You got to remain calm, dude. This is like 1 week into this quarantine.
Well,
you realize that, right?
You know what the thing is? I honestly feel like, for me, I'm running through my head like all the places I've been the last 10 days or so where there have been a lot of people.
Mm, that's healthy.
And I hit check marks.
Mm-hmm.
VGK game on, I believe it was the 12th.
Yeah, no, I don't. We've talked about this. So when we get past your little 15-day window, are you going to be better?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Because at that point,
then you can look ahead to week 4, 5, and 6 of quarantine.
Well, the only people at that point that I will have contact with once we get into next week, a week from today,
yeah,
the only people that I will have had contact with are you, my son,
right,
my mother,
your dog,
my dog, who, well, yeah, Frank, Ryan. And that's pretty much it.
It's a big group.
It's only 5.
Ooh, that's still.
And Bobby, so 6.
Still. The good news, Bobby's like oblivious to everything.
Yeah.
He might have the cure to COVID.
Who knows?
Let's check Bobby's blood.
Him and Keith Richards.
Guys don't know who Bobby is. Bobby works on The Rock. Well, he works on a lot of stations around here, but he's an old rocker. Goes back to the Boston days and, been around. Bobby's been around. I actually did a couple shows with Bobby where I actually brought him and had him crack the mic. Yeah. That extremely fun shows in the sense that he doesn't care about anything.
No, and that's kind of, I wish I had that outlook.
Bobby, what do you think about this? Bobby, what do you think about that?
Been through it.
I literally feel like Bobby's just been waiting for the apocalypse. But before it comes, we're not there yet. We still got hockey news to talk about. And I actually really like this as we talk about the Vegas Golden Knights extending people here on this Monday. Zach Whitecloud, the youngster, the D-man, the blue liner from the Vegas Golden Knights getting an extension today. What is it, Magnum? 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's 2 years. I think $750,000 a year. So yeah. Good for him. He's a relatively young guy. And I know his background, you know, it was a struggle for him growing up. And you know he's indigenous to one of the tribes of Canada.
I did not know that. Fill us in a little bit on his story.
I think it's Lakota.
Okay.
I tweeted it out a few weeks ago, but he's
native.
Yeah, he is a native to a nation of Canada, which I believe also the nation actually extends into like the Dakotas, I think.
Yeah.
And he grew up in Brandon, Manitoba. And, you know, he's got a really interesting story because before all this nonsense and crazy stuff started happening,
right?
I was building a pretty good rapport with him, and we chatted a few weeks ago about there was the Edmonton Oilers had a woman sing the national anthem, the Canadian national anthem, in Cree.
Okay.
Which is one of the languages of the indigenous population of Canada. And Ethan Bear, who plays for the Edmonton Oilers, he is a Cree member.
Okay.
And he was overwhelmed with joy and you know, you could see it. And I talked to Whitecloud about that, and he said, you know, it was a really cool moment. And you know, Canadians do a really good job of you know, I mean, I don't live there, I've never lived there, so I don't know about the history and what they've, you know, what if it's a lot similar to ours, but at least today they seem to really embrace their indigenous population.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nice that they're doing those things. I mean, I lived in Arizona for a little bit, and I used to encounter a lot of Navajo, but so I am a little familiar with the treatment of the Navajo in this country, but I hope it's a little better in Canada. But Whitecloud, you know, like we said, 2 years, $750,000.
Yeah.
He will definitely enjoy that money, I'm sure, and he seems like a really smart kid. And unfortunately, there is the other side of this, and I kind of think it means it's the end of both Derek England and John Merrill in Vegas.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you about England. I still feel like there's hope for Merrill. Is that unrealistic on my
I think
end?
So, because when you look at what they've got down in Chicago, Dylan Coughlin, Jake Bischoff, obviously Nick Hague, who spent a little bit of time up here. So there is a bunch of young guys chomping at the bit to get here that, A, will be cheaper than Merrill. The question is, who's not going to play? Because you're not going to play 7 defensemen.
Right.
And is Holden the odd man out?
Could be.
Is Whitecloud going to be the odd man out?
Could be.
You know, you don't have, like, right now it's pretty clear that Derek England is the guy who is sitting.
Yeah.
But when you get into next season, the question becomes who is, because I don't think England will be back.
Yeah, it's going to be a bummer. I'll tell you what, we obviously don't know what's going to happen with this NHL season, but if that was like the abrupt end to Derek England's career, you know, probably in the NHL and definitely most likely here in Vegas, what kind of a bummer, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I don't know, a bit poetic in the sense that he arrived here in Vegas in the midst of unprecedented chaos.
Well,
then he's leaving in the midst of unprecedented chaos. I don't know.
Yeah,
kind of fitting in that regard.
The bad thing for him from a hockey perspective is you have to look at this team and think that they were serious contenders for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And to be on a team, I mean, he's probably not alone. There probably are guys around the league who are, you know, I mean, obviously Joe Thornton's not one of them, but the Sharks not in the playoffs, but there are some older guys who you have to imagine will be hanging it up at the end of the year on very competitive teams. I mean, I saw Tuukka Rask has said that he may hang it up.
Yeah, and we saw this with we saw it with the March Madness tournament, and a lot of high school athletics and collegiate athletics and SportsCenter, ESPN's been doing a good job of kind of chronicling those fourth year people that didn't get their chance to shine.
Yeah,
and which is great. I'm glad they're doing that, but I think lost in a little bit of this. We saw it a little bit with Vince Carter. What was it, a week ago, whatever, that Thursday, Friday when the league shut down.
Yeah, Vince Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night. He had that unceremonious kind of end to what is most likely going to be his career in the NBA, and he talked about it. He talked about how wild it is. That's the thing. We haven't really thought about these professional athletes and what it means for their final seasons. Also, I think there is an extent here to where we're holding on hope that both of those seasons still finish, but Magnum, I don't know. I mean, we can only speculate. I just feel like as this goes on a little bit longer and longer, the possibility of, you know, I don't know how you make up a season if this goes into the summer, because then the season
runs into next season.
Exactly. Then you're essentially on the cusp of next season. And then you're going to have what? If you run it like that, 2 years essentially of no break. If you're an athlete,
I'm
sure they could do it, but what would what would it look like?
I'm not sure what the answer is.
No, I'm not.
It does seem like, I mean, there is some positivity starting to come out of Italy, where they've had less deaths today than they had yesterday. Yesterday they had 150 less deaths than they had on Saturday. So Saturday, I think it was 793. Yesterday, I believe it was 650. And today, I think it's about 601.
Yeah. Well, that's a
really good sign. And the percentage of cases has gone down the last.
Well, and here's my understanding, as you talk about the cases going down in Italy, that's going to be one of our biggest problems here in America, is we'll watch the numbers go down.
Yes.
Which means we'll be doing our jobs by staying home and protecting the, you know, immune deficient people out there, obviously the elderly population. And if you've been listening to the stories, you know, young people are catching it as well without pre-existing conditions, and they're getting sick and some are dying. So my point is that if we're doing everything right, it's going to feel like there's no reason for us to be indoors.
And that's
right.
Like, that's the big problem.
Numbers are going down. Well, we can go back out. No. Numbers are going down because we are remaining indoors and stopping the spread of this. And we've got to do it, unfortunately, longer than you would probably like.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the numbers are going to go down, but you have to keep staying at home to ensure that those numbers go down, because this thing is so highly contagious that all it takes is a couple people to go back out. I mean, we saw it. I mean, listen, there's been a lot of talk about China virus and this dummy just constantly labeling it this.
Well, it's just to distance himself from any blame,
it's
xenophobia.
But the fact is this did come from another country,
yes.
And you saw how quickly it swept the globe. So that can happen back in America. Now it's here, right? So now we have to make sure that the infected people don't come back out and don't, because when this thing does hit, as we've seen, it spreads quickly. And you have asymptomatic hosts that are not, again, they're not showing signs, so it's very dangerous in that regard.
Yeah, it's extremely dangerous. And, you know, for anyone, especially people who have respiratory problems, people who have heart problems, it could be deadly. And, I mean, the thing is, you're looking at numbers across the states. They're not telling the whole picture.
Well, no, because we don't have the tests.
And, you know, I mean, I think we have something like 33,000 positive tests. The problem is that number is going to increase for the next.
Listen, there's probably people out there, Magnum, that have friends that have heard similar stories. If you've been seeing any verified accounts on social media, like, there is a common thread and a common story here of people with intense fevers and coughs and going into emergency rooms or going to primary care doctors.
And being sent away.
Right, being sent away, essentially saying that, well, you didn't come in contact with anyone who had it, so you're not, you know, you're not at this level to where you can get tested. It's like, well, the person who didn't come in contact with someone who didn't come in contact with someone didn't have the prior, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just a very dangerous domino effect. So it's something to keep an eye on. I don't know when the NHL season obviously is going to get started again, if it's going to get started again, or the NBA season, or what's going to happen with baseball. It's all uncharted territory, but we will be here reacting to the news, talking puppies as well, and giving you updates around the sports world. As we talk about the sports world, as we talk specifically about the Vegas Golden Knights, just mentioned Zach Whitecloud, the 23-year-old from up there in Canada, getting a 2-year extension. Locking up, solidifying their blue line a little bit more for the next couple years. Vegas Golden Knights are going to be on TV tonight, Magnum, although I'm not sure folks are going to want to watch. NBC Sports airing a Hockey Week in America tonight, and they're starring Game 7 OT Thriller. So 2015, you're getting Washington and New York at 3 o'clock, which is airing, I would imagine, right now. 2014, the Kings versus the Blackhawks in Game 7. That'll be at 5 o'clock. I hate that game. Terrible game. 7 p.m. 2013, Game 7, Toronto versus Boston. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. And then 9 o'clock, Golden Knights, 2019, Game 7 versus the team that shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, let's pass on that one. I was in the building for that, and I would rather not.
It's an all-timer.
You know what? From a hockey perspective, it really was not a very good game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, there's
no, it was a blowout.
Until
it wasn't.
There's all-time moments in that game, right. like the 5-minute major. But other than that, you know what? The third period is probably, because Golden Knights had a 3-goal lead with 10 minutes to go. They take that horrible penalty, which to this day still makes zero sense how that's a penalty. They give up the lead. They trail 4-3. Marchessault comes back, scores a goal to force them to go into overtime, and then they lose in OT.
Yeah.
And that's, the story should have been better for the Golden Knights last year. I mean, I don't know if they would have beaten Colorado or St. Louis. Those are two teams that they just didn't match up well with last year, or, well, this year they've beaten St. Louis twice, but last year either.
Colorado's a more scary team out of those two, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the story should have had a better ending than that. But for hockey fans not associated with either team, it's one of those games where you'll always remember it. You will always remember that game, whether you're a fan of the Golden Knights or if you're a fan of the New York Rangers or a fan of the Winnipeg Jets. You will remember that. Because it's one of those games that will resonate throughout history of the sport.
Yeah, it's impossible to forget. I don't even know if you have to be a hockey fan. I mean, you could have just been turning on SportsCenter that night and seen the clips and been like, it happened how and what? I mean, Game 7, those two words, those are universal.
Yeah. And
like, you don't have to be a hockey fan to know what that means. And in the context of the way that played out, and you brought it up, Marchessault coming back and tugging at our heartstrings and tying that game and sending it to OT. What just,
You know, and the crazy thing was to get from the press box to the locker room, it's a hike in San Jose. It's not a good setup. So when the game went to overtime, I went down and watched the overtime in the media room. I didn't even watch it live.
Yeah.
Because I just had a job to do and I had to be down there. So to hear the ushers and the people in the hallways of the SAP Center screaming and cheering when they scored that goal, that was tough.
Yes, yes, yes. Memories, memories, memories. And if you'd like to relive those memories, if you're a glutton for punishment, if that's something that tickles your fancy, 9 o'clock tonight on NBC Sports, you can catch Game 7, Vegas Golden Knights taking on the San Jose Sharks. Although I have no idea why you would want to do that. Sticking to a little bit of local news coming down about 15 minutes ago, we have an update on the contract that Marcus Mariota is getting with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's signing a 2-year deal for $17.6 million, but only the first year at $7.5 million is guaranteed. So he's going to come in as a backup, obviously, to Derek Carr. But I think the hope is, and this is according to Vic Tapefer from The Athletic up there, basically Mariota hopes to make a run at the starting job at some point next season. If not, he goes back on the market. Hence that first-year guarantee of $7.5 million. Also, not just quarterback news, got some wide receiver news. Aguilar? Unlike Aguilar.
I know. You know what? I failed. I should have had that guy in the open.
We can do it tomorrow. Nelson Aguilar signing with the Las Vegas Raiders, getting a one-year contract worth about $1 million, $1.05 million. $887,000 of it's going to be guaranteed. Vic Tafer said he expects Aguilar to return punts. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe, as well as providing depth at wide receiver. Not an earth-shattering move by any stretch of the imagination, but as we remember, Philly guy last year making Nelson Aguilar a viral sensation because, well, he was dropping important balls, and Philly guy didn't like that. One of my favorite moments from last year. Please bring football back. I need more of those moments. I do. I'm struggling out here. I need comedy. Got plenty of comedy. Plenty of comedy, though, on the interwebs to keep us busy. Not so funny, though, Magnum. We've been talking a lot about the Olympics here on this show. Obviously, you had tickets to go out to Japan and watch some of the festivities here in a couple months. Now it's looking like that is not going to be happening.
Well, yeah, the IOC, I guess, I don't know if they've made an official announcement, but there have been some rumblings that they are going to delay or postpone the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which obviously is a devastating thing for the country of Japan, because, I mean, I was just there in January, and they were hyped. And, you know, obviously from a personal standpoint, it's disappointing, because I was supposed to be there for a couple of events. I had tickets.
Well, you'll still get them. They'll still be transferable to whenever the time is rescheduled. Now, you did say it's not official, but it does look like this will be coming down, according to Christine Brennan of USA Today, who spoke with veteran IOC member, International Committee member Dick Pound. Really?
Yeah, that's his name.
Wouldn't you just go by Richard?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it.
You just own it?
Yeah, own it.
But you don't. What I'm saying is, you don't have to go by Dick Pound.
Well, I mean, if that's your name, you go by it.
Is anyone named Dick?
I don't know. I hope not.
I thought everyone named Dick is named Richard.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you wonder
how. So he's choosing to go by Dick Pound.
Well, if that's what you've been called your whole life.
Well.
I had a neighbor growing up named Dick.
Yeah, but his last name wasn't Pound.
No.
His last name wasn't Ringer. His last name wasn't, you know. Underpants. Of all the words that could come after Dick, if your first name was Dick.
Yeah, but there was a guy who played for the New York Jets named Dick Curl years ago.
Dick Pound's still worse.
Than Curl?
Yes.
I don't know.
Smash?
Curl?
Curl? I mean, Dick, I mean, it's not great.
They're both bad.
Let's go with Richard. I don't know. You know what? Do what you want. My name's not Dick, and I'm happy for it.
Yeah, I'm glad my parents didn't name me Richard, and I started being called Dick. That's just not a... That's one of those ones where you just wonder, like, how does Peggy come from Catherine?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's so many weird...
That's a good point.
Like, how do you get Richard from...
How do you get Ashley from Elizabeth?
No idea.
That's one that always...
Yeah, like I get like Joe from Joseph or Tony from Anthony.
I get me being called Brian all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you don't even correct people anymore. It's like the name of the 80s.
Yeah, you just. Like,
how many Ryans and Brians do you know? 6,000?
Yeah. Chris's? A ton.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Chris still kind of gets thrown around.
My parents were pretty they weren't very unique. Christopher and my brother was Michael, so.
Well.
Yeah.
Joe, Jimmy,
two of the most popular names of the 1980s on full display.
No. You're more 40, 50, 60s.
80s, Christopher? No.
80, yes.
70s. I was born in the 70s.
My dad is named Christopher. My brother's named Christopher. Like,
okay.
Come on. No. It's Ryan and Brian's the name of the 80s for sure.
Yeah. That's a good
one. And what's the name of the 90s? Like Brennan?
Brandon? Tyler?
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler. No offense against Tyler Bischoff.
Yeah, that's
your name,
Tyler.
Your name sucks, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
That's
a very 1990s millennial, you know, type
and
name.
And that's not fair to Tyler. I just had a science or a computer teacher, a tech apps teacher in high school that had a three-year-old named Tyler, and she used to talk about him all the time like he was a genius. And Tyler's so smart, and Tyler does this, and Tyler does that. Lady, I don't care about your stupid kid. I found out a little bit later he's like a borderline PGA golf tour pro now.
Wow.
Like he's like a really good golfer. Yeah. I was really bummed to hear that he actually turned out to have a decent life. I was rooting against that kid from like the start.
That's crazy.
That's his mom's fault.
Yeah,
if she wasn't so annoying, I wouldn't have known anything about him, and I would have never like put that energy on him. But he, you know what? He overcame without me, despite my voodoo desires and wishes on his. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Back to the IOC. Back to this. God, Olympics postponement. Dick Pound. Veteran. See, that's what happened.
Yeah, you get.
It was
you get distracted.
One name. Yeah. And we spent 4 minutes, probably more. On something we really didn't need to, but I can't help myself. I am a gigantic man, baby. Veteran IOC member Dick Pound says the Tokyo Olympics are going to be postponed. So that, you know, poses the question, Magnum, I guess, postpone until when? I'll just say this. The Olympics are unlike anything else.
Yeah.
There is literally nothing like them in every way, shape, or form, from the amount of athletes it brings in to the amount of countries to the variants of sports. I know ESPN, the Ocho, was running the past couple days. They were doing that over the weekend, which was great. The Olympics is basically like high-level ESPN, the Ocho. It's not
There's a lot of really weird – like I was going to go to handball.
Sure. Yeah. It's curling, which I know is popular. But, I mean, there are some really stupid games there that would never get shine
or
attention.
Well, like archery. Like, I get, like, you go back to the Robin Hood stuff, right? But that's one of those weird ones.
Yeah. Well, this
but
kills –
they were going to introduce surfing this year.
Well, that's what was going to kill me. We got rock climbing, skateboarding, and surfing.
And they brought baseball back.
And they brought baseball back. Those four things right there, I was so very much looking forward to watching. And as we talked about, my weird sleep habits, I feel like Japanese Olympics, like, plays right into my wheelhouse.
Yeah, because you would have been awake during – and I would have been there. So
it would have been awesome.
We would have been texting. Oh, my God, did you see that?
Would have been great. We could have had you call in our Olympic correspondent on Skype.
Yeah.
But that will not be happening. Now, the question is, when should the rescheduling happen? And, Magnum, I think there's no question it has to be 2021. You have to give it a full year. Number one, the logistics. Number two, you don't want to rush it. You want to make sure that everything is
cool.
on the up and up. And number two, probably the most important part is right now. There was a pole vaulter that was on ESPN last night on SportsCenter. I forget her name, and I apologize on that. But she was talking about how essentially the USA Olympics is like, hey, you should still be training. They're like, well, we have our training Olympic training centers are all closed, so they can't train where they would normally train. Obviously, you have to train leading up to the Olympics. It's pretty important. They can't train, and then I would imagine all their gyms where they're supposed to train
are closed. Yeah.
So you're getting a massively shortchanged version of the Olympics if you roll this out any other time. And honestly, I might not hate the idea of 2022, but wouldn't that then coincide with winter and you could do a summer and winter?
They would both be the same year.
I don't really have a problem with that.
I don't know, because then you run into, well, what happens in 2026?
Yeah.
Right? Like you shorten the window for
you just bring back the Summer Olympics 2 years after.
Yeah, but then you also would have but that's the problem.
What's the problem?
For these athletes, they're training for 2026 almost immediately. So they lose that 2 years of preparation, right? The city I don't know who's hosting it in 2026.
You're talking winter would be 2026.
No.
Summer would be 2024.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. All right, I'm sorry. My math is bad.
Yeah.
So there would only be a 2 year window between Summer Olympics. I don't know if that's feasible.
Well, it probably is. I mean, I don't know. Uncharted
now,
territory, right?
I think a lot of this came down because last night, Canada announced that no matter what happened, they would not be sending athletes.
Yeah.
Australia kind of hinted at it.
Well, leave it up to the adults in the room. They don't speak with just money. They're trying to, you know, save.
Yeah, and from the Japanese perspective, they've put a lot of money into it. Their economy is really hinging on this. So, unfortunately, I think the economy of the world is in trouble. It's not just Japan. It's everywhere.
Right.
Because of this COVID-19. It's uncharted waters. None of us have ever seen anything like this in our lifetimes, and hopefully, I hope to God we never do see it again. But
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it so far.
No, I mean I'm all right. I'm all right staying in. Like I'm fine. Like to me, I really
you seem fine. You seem very fine.
Like the anxiety is bothering me, but like like I said, let me get through this next week, and, yeah. and I'll probably start to feel a little bit better.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
We're going to do the Magnum countdown clock once you get clear of 14 days.
Yeah, because at that point, like I was thinking about you. Well, it's been over 14 days since you were at the UFC event.
Yes.
So you're not
potential
getting some
host. Oh, but buddy, I was downtown last Friday.
And that's the thing.
So
though.
You're not what, any. What, we're
yeah,
like,
but 1 week.
Well, 1 week plus what? 9, 10. I'm like 10, 11 days into that. I could still be
oh, wait,
very
last
contagious.
Friday.
Yep.
Like this. Oh no!
Yes,
what are you doing?
I know. Not this one we just had.
Yeah, 2 Fridays ago. Yeah. So this Friday we'll be good.
Yes.
So we have about 5 days.
Yeah, buddy.
Like Wednesday is a thing for me.
Guys, I can see the fear in his eyes. It's legitimate.
Yeah.
It's legitimate. Oh, don't worry, Magnum. I'm feeling great. hey, as we're talking about the Olympics, I think I talked about this on Friday. Tomorrow, I mentioned it on Friday, but I'm going to mention it again because tomorrow here on the Mac Attack, we're going to join up with one of my favorite people in the world. He is my co-host on Saturdays over there on Satellite for their show, Busted Open Radio. Former Olympian gold medalist and the strongest man to ever walk the face of the earth, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, is going to be stopping by the Mac Attack to talk about some Olympic memories and what he remembers and what he thinks about this postponement. And also, tomorrow on the Vice Channel, the story of one Chris Benoit is going to be airing. It's a two-parter. For those of you that don't remember the story of Chris Benoit, you got to go back about 15 years, a very tragic story that resulted in the death of his entire, well, not his entire family, but
his wife and his
two kids. One of his sons survived, maybe another one. I got to be a little bit more clear on that. But the story of Chris Benoit, which is why we're going to watch, so we get a little bit more clarity on this story that rocked the world of professional wrestling, and not only rocked the world of professional wrestling, rocked the world of sports, because after Chris Benoit murdered his family, this is a WWE champion we're talking about, one of the more famous wrestlers of the 2000s and really the 1990s. It really led to what we're living today in terms of CTE and traumatic brain injuries in sports. Chris Benoit was the reason that happened. We're going to tell you why when we come back here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Brian Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yes, yes, yes. Naughty by nature. Did you grab that audio of Rita Wilson?
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you did. I guess I should have asked you before we came back from break with it.
I read my emails.
As we are all trying to, you know, keep ourselves busy during quarantine, maybe you're watching some new shows. I'm watching 999 on Amazon, which is like Traffic meets Narcos. Very good cocaine story. Gabriel Byrne from Usual Suspects is in it. I highly recommend it. Really well shot. Very, very like artsy, slower story, but a lot of building, you know, building intensity and I don't know the word I'm looking for, but
I've been doing the 30 for 30s.
Okay, yeah. So everyone's trying to pass the time in their own way.
I finally watched the Ric Flair one.
Oh, nice. That was a really good
it was
really,
it was really
one.
Good.
Yeah, so I've been watching that 999 show. I've been watching Hunters on Amazon, the Nazi Hunter show about with Al Pacino, which has been really enjoyable.
Yeah.
About to finish the final episode of that. But yeah, everyone's keeping busy in their own way. I'm going to give you some TV watching here coming up here in a couple minutes that I think you might be interested in. But yeah, we got to hear from Rita Wilson, the wife of Tom Hanks, who has been quarantining from obviously, COVID-19 for now. I feel like it was a week. What, it was about a week since Tom Hanks and Rita.
Well, I think
Rita
it was the same day that Rudy Gobert.
Oh, that's right. So it's actually a little bit longer that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson came down with the coronavirus. Well, they've been keeping themselves busy in a myriad of ways. One, well, I just kind of buried the lead. But Rita Wilson surprising the internet in ways that we didn't even know we could be surprised. Happening yesterday, Rita Wilson taking to Twitter and showing off her MC skills. We love you, Rita.
You drew a picture of my morning, but you couldn't make my day. I'm rocking and you're yawning, but you never look my way. I'm looking down you, darling, in every single way. Your funny flow is on and your green comes on the way. This ain't got shit to do with shampoo, so watch your head and shoulder. Brother older, bold enough to fold you. Yo, I told you, arrayed afraid of what I made and played it with some funky twists of sage, your flips and tricks. Put that music in your funky day. Triggers from the grill town, ill town. So that's how it feels now. The deals that were real, so we're still round. Don't lamp with a freestyle phantom. Ain't trying to be handsome. Shrinking what you're thinking.
Okay, Rita. All right, Rita got bars.
Yeah, she can do it.
Rita has bars.
I like how she changes her voice between Tretch and Vinny.
Yeah, she knew.
Yeah, she knew. She knew to change.
She knew. She's a lifelong Naughty by Nature fan. Hey, and speaking of Naughty by Nature, seriously, one of the more underrated groups.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you hear a lot about Eric B. and Rakim and you know, Public Enemy, and there were a lot of good groups. Gangstar from that era. I think because Naughty by Nature was so popular and Hip Hop Parade, and like they were almost like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Like they were just like such a part of pop culture.
They don't really get the credit they deserve.
Right. Which they should.
Yeah, and they're from Illtown, which is East Orange, New Jersey, one of the Well, I'll just say it's one of the roughest places, and if you've ever been there,
that's why they were naughty. It was because of the nature at which they came from.
Yeah, I mean,
they were
East Orange is up in that area with Irvington and Newark, and Newark, of course, Brick City. But yeah. it is a
Redman.
Yeah, it is a rough part of the country. You go through there, and my dad worked in South Orange. I'm sorry, West Orange. Which is obviously right next door, but you would go through East Orange at times, and you're like, "Wow, this is not a place I'd want to grow up." And you know, they sang about that in some of the what was it? Everything's gonna be all right, you know. And he talks about being a ghetto bastard.
Look at you. You look a naughty bite. Are you like a nature super fan over
here? I am from New Jersey.
Okay,
this was when I was in my junior high school days that they came through. And they came up, of course. They had OPP, which was a huge hit, and then they followed it up on the second 1993, which had Hip Hop Array, and then they had Feel Me Flow. Remember that one?
Which is one of my favorite beats of all time in hip hop history.
I do
like how we're literally just this turned into a Naughty by Nature kind of.
One of my regrets in life is that I don't have a Naughty by Nature sweatshirt.
Really? That's one of your regrets?
Remember they used to wear them in all the videos?
Really?
Yes.
That's one of those ones you're going to hold on to.
I wish I had one. In fact, I'm sure I could find one. Right now I'm not spending excess money. So. Yeah.
Although it would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure I can find one. But
I really needed this right now during this coronavirus lockdown.
Yeah, Naughty by Nature.
Well, speaking of coronavirus lockdowns, as everyone is looking for things to watch, maybe new albums to listen to, maybe Naughty, what was it, Not by 93?
1993. Eighth grade for me.
All right, well, there you go. Go out and check out a great Naughty by Nature discography. I don't think you're going to be able to match the bars of Rita Wilson, though, although you can try. But no, as we say, looking for maybe things that outside your wheelhouse that you normally wouldn't watch. This documentary series is going into its second season on the Vice channel. If you have it, I highly recommend it. It's called Dark Side of the Ring. The first season chronicled the relationship between like Randy Macho Man Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
If you've ever heard any of the stories,
they're outstanding.
Like
the death of Bruiser Brody.
He was supposedly murdered.
He was definitely
in
murdered
in Puerto Rico.
He was definitely murdered in Puerto Rico. But no, there was. So it's all these like little, not little, but all these moments from pro wrestling that were shrouded in mystery. And then the second season kicks off tomorrow, and it is it's going to be interesting because the first episode of the second season. Is focused on one Chris Benoit. I alluded to it before we went to break. It's a horrible story, first of all. But there is a silver lining here because, as I said, the story of Chris Benoit essentially murdering his entire family and then taking his own life while he was still an active wrestler in the WWE. In fact, I believe that night he was the night where the news broke, he was scheduled to wrestle CM Punk in a match, but no one could find him. Then, obviously, news came out and the rest is history. Now, that history is a bit clouded. It's been one of those kind of moments in the business magnum that people don't talk about. Chris Benoit, like, you, God forbid you say he's your favorite wrestler. You catch a lot of blowback for that, obviously, because he is a murderer and there's this other side of his history. But prior to that, Chris Benoit is one of the most beloved figures of his generation, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember.
It creates a lot of emotions. Well, Magnum, I'm pretty sure you saw him wrestle at the old ECW arena.
I mean, him and Dean Malenko, they used to have some incredible matches back in the old ECW days. And, of course, I remember him from Nitro when he went to WCW. Then, of course, came over.
WWE had his title run.
The Crippler Crossface. I mean, that was – he was the Rabid Wolverine. I mean, that was his – I mean, he was a mean-looking guy. Like, he was a guy where you look at him, and he's a guy where if there's a bar fight, you hope he's on your side because he just looks like he could really do some serious damage. And – you know, I mean, he obviously had some serious deep issues connected to the concussions. And
that's where I'm really hoping. We're going to hear from, I think, Chris Jericho, wrestling legend, is going to narrate.
Another Canadian wrestling legend.
And one of Chris Benoit's best friends who has, you know, spoken at length. He's one of the guys who has actually talked about Benoit, whereas I think other people have kind of been like, you know, it's off limits. I don't want to acknowledge Chris Benoit. And I bring this up because Mark Henry, WWE Hall of Famer, going to be joining the show tomorrow. I'm really interested to get his thoughts on this documentary, as well as the Olympics getting postponed potentially. Obviously, he's a gold medalist and a Olympic legend. But he also knew Chris Benoit, and he was around when all of this happened. Now, obviously, the circumstances of what happened are horrific. They're terrible. That will never change. But what happened after the murders and the tragedy of the Benoit family is really the most interesting legacy of this whole thing, which is once doctors got their hands on Chris Benoit's brain, they realized how damaged it was. They didn't exactly know what was going on, but I think by all accounts, he had something like the brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient, just in the throes of extreme dementia and extreme damage to his brain. And this really kicked off the era that we're living today. There was no CTE before Chris Benoit. There was no traumatic brain injuries before Chris Benoit. There was no looking at, well, do 600 concussions, what does that do to a human being, and how does that calcify the brain? Whatever. I'm not a doctor. I don't actually know. But I do know that after Benoit and the subsequent years that followed, because of that tragedy and because of them being able to look inside him and get hands on his brain and kind of dissect it in the ways that they did, we helped an entire generation of athletes be more aware of what their body could potentially be going through. And really, Magnum, is 15 years later about, I mean, we're still living in it. It's still a bit of an inexact science, but a lot of that, you know, happened because of Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean, you look across all combat sports. I mean, we haven't really seen the effects yet in UFC.
No.
But, I mean, you look at boxing, especially the guys that we grew up watching, and even before that, you know, Muhammad Ali, of course, had all sorts of serious problems. And, you know, it's a scary thing, that the concussion, the CTE stuff, because you really don't know a whole lot about it, but we've learned a lot more in the last 10, 15 years. But, I mean, I wonder how many other guys, because, I mean, you always hear about wrestlers dying young.
Right.
So you have to wonder how many more guys have gone through this, how many more guys that we don't even know about maybe did something. Like, remember Snuka? Remember the whole story with Snuka and the woman in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, was CTE a factor there, right? Because, I mean, he got smashed in the head with a coconut.
Well, that's the other thing, is the era at which those guys came from. Now you don't see chair shots to the head, or you don't see a lot of head shots. In fact, the pile driver, for those of you that know the move, the pile driver, that's been essentially done away with in WWE. WWE's really ramped up their safety protocol.
Yeah, that was Paul Orndorff's signature move.
A lot of people's. I mean, The Undertaker had his tombstone, which he's the only one that can really get away with using that move because he's the Undertaker.
Well, and he's so big that he can prevent the...
Well, yes, but it's also just so much a part of his character at this point that you're just not going to get it removed, and he doesn't wrestle enough for it to be an issue. But yeah, it really changed the game. I was watching the old... that you're looking for a good pro wrestling documentary. It's on Netflix right now, Beyond the Mat, really chronicling the 90s pro wrestling. Terry Funk, Jake the Snake Roberts, and... really, the WWE at the time.
Oh, I may watch that tonight.
And Mick Foley, you get a behind-the-scenes look at Mick Foley and The Rock at the Royal Rumble, I believe, in 1999, where The Rock hits Mick Foley with something like 20 unchecked headshots with a chair. Because, and for those of you that don't know, I mean, you talk about the match a little bit before you work it, but then very much so, the person who's calling the match, the other worker, kind of leaves their safety in the hands of that person. And in this case, Mick Foley, I don't think, was calling that match. It was The Rock's call. And at one point in that match, they handcuff Mick Foley, and Mick Foley has his handcuffs completely behind his back. It's legit. And then, for effect, he just sits there essentially begging for his life as The Rock just hits him over and over and over again with his hands handcuffed to the head. I mean, just incredible visuals, especially, you know, juxtaposed to what we're talking about now with Benoit. Benoit took a lot of chair shots. The entire business really changed after this whole Chris Benoit story. So tomorrow on Vice, Dark Side of the Ring is going to be airing. And it's not just the Chris Benoit story. This is going to delve into a lot of other stories throughout the pro wrestling world in season two, just like they did in season one. So even if you're not a pro wrestling fan, this is going to be a documentary and a storytelling kind of expose that I would imagine is going to grab you and is going to be fairly interesting. And again, we're going to talk about it with Mark Henry tomorrow on the show, get his thoughts on that documentary and also get his thoughts on the Olympics and plenty more. Big Dallas Cowboys fan, big NFL fan, big NBA fan, Mark Henry is. So we'll catch up with all things with the world's strongest man tomorrow. But when we come back, it's National Puppy Day here on the Mac Attack. So let me tell you, on this day, I'll tell you a story. 6 years ago, my English bulldog decided he wanted to try to leave this earth. I'm going to tell you about the time my little English bulldog, Pauly, almost drowned in a Colorado river when we come back here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
So it is National Puppy Day here on the Mac Attack, Magnum. I know you've got a little puppy.
Yes.
What is it? It's a lab?
Yeah, she's a lab. I think bloodhound mix.
Little, I was going to say a little mutt.
Yeah, she's a mix. Yeah, definitely some. She's very very sweet. One of the sweetest dogs I've ever encountered.
How old is she?
7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I have an 11, well, about to, he's 10 and a half. He's an 11-year-old English bulldog named Pauly. And I'm going to tell you, Magnum, when I thought I got this English bulldog, you know, I thought I was getting this docile creature. You know, people say that about bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, they're chill. They're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They just breathe heavy and they sound like they're snorting pigs. Pauly has been a nightmare for all 10 and a half years he's been on this planet. I'm talking like full of piss and vinegar, absolute psychopath, never slows down, always wants to play, constantly like pawing and scratching at my feet, trying to like nip at my toes, trying to get me engaged. Just again, an absolute psychopath. I'd rather have him be that though than, you know, be slow and old and so whatever.
Lethargic.
Yeah, lethargic. So I actually saw this on my Facebook memories 6 years ago today. I was in Durango, Colorado. I was on a vacation with the wife and Pauly. We were getting ready to head into Telluride. For anyone who's ever made the drive from Durango into Telluride, it's a mountain drive. You go through the Rockies, and it's, you know, it's high elevation. We were going through a mountain town called Silverton. I'm sure some of you guys know Silverton. It was 6 years ago today, so it was spring. They had just gotten a huge dump. The snowpack was absolutely huge. We were standing in a field. We were, like, on top of road signs. You know what I mean? Like, it was huge snowdrifts, like 8, 9, 10, 11 feet.
Wow.
Which is pretty standard in mountain towns like that in the spring. You get a lot of snow. But so we're out there. We want to let the dog run around, you know? We're in Vegas. He doesn't get to see stuff like this. So we're letting him go wild. Now, we're out in this field, and way across, I'm talking like, you know, thousands of yards, there's a mountain that goes, like a mountain. There's a trail that goes up the side of the mountain. And on the other side of the mountain, I see this... What's the cross-country skier? Yeah. He's starting to go across his way, and I know if Pauly sees him, you know, I'm like, he might
gonna run.
Well, he might. He might think it's his friend, so I'm trying to keep him distracted. Now, I don't think much of it because he's so far away. He's like a speck. He's like a dot. Like, Pauly's not that stupid. So we're in this field. Way down on the other side near the base of that mountain is a river. Right? It's moving, but it's a little stagnated because it's cold, whatever.
Yeah.
It's got some ice chunks. It's more of like a pond, but it was moving, as I said. So, sure enough, Magnum, as we're sitting there throwing snowballs at the dog and having fun and having a good time and playing in this field, Pauly gets a glimpse of that cross-country skier, and he makes a beeline for the cross-country skier. Now, I know that there's a river there that he doesn't see, so I no, he's also stupid, and I lose my mind. So I start chasing after him, scared to death that he's going to go over this crest and fall in the river. The problem is, Magnum, we're in these snowdrifts now. They're like 10 feet, and I'm like 280 pounds. So I start running, which I'm not watching my footing, so I fall right through the snowdrift. So now I'm up to my chest in snow, and I can't get out. Luckily, my wife is with my other buddy, Spike. They start running off after the dog because I'm screaming at him, like, yo, he's going to fall in the river. Sure enough, I see him disappear over the crest. The next thing I see is him coming back soaking wet, my wife covered completely up to the neck in like snow and ice. So yeah, it happened. He went over the crest, he fell in the river, and my wife said she saw him sink to the bottom of the river because bulldogs cannot swim, right? So he has his harness on. She's ditches her phone, throws her phone to the side of the bank, the embankment, jumps in, Hulk slams him, picks him out of the water, and saves our little baby boy Paulie from dying. So happy National Dog Day to Polly. Thanks for not dying 6 years ago. If you have stupid dogs, watch them. Happy National Puppy Day, friends. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Mackie Attack.